Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining air and listening in. This is Jennifer Hellman, your host. Tonight's guest is some beautiful, awesome, very respected teachers, Ed and Deb Shapiro, who have been teaching meditation and body awareness, yoga, and personal development for over 30 years. I came across them by accident. Like, I'm always guided to these beautiful and wonderful experiences, and I am so glad that I was guided to this wonderful book and these wonderful people. The book is Be the Change: How Meditation Can Transform You and the World, and it really is a fascinating exploration of how meditation can really open up the awakeness, really awaken you in so many ways. I've been doing meditation really kind of regularly for the last 10 years for sure, but I've kind of done it all my life without even realizing it. So I really appreciate both you, Ed and Deb, for being on the show. Thank you very much, and for doing this book and all your work.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say that you said you came across us by accident, and one of my favorite lines is, coincidence is God's way of being anonymous.
Yes. And he's blessed me that way in so many ways. I often say my guests are always spirit-inspired, and it's wonderful surprises and wonderful wisdoms that I come across because of that. So tell me a little bit about how this book came about. It's a beautiful book. And real quick, we will be giving away, and I put this actually on, I mentioned it last week's show, and I put it out on Facebook that we are giving away 10 books. So I just want to mention that there's 10 books available. So please tell me about your book and the process of this coming about.
Well, it was a sort of journey of exploration. We've been both practicing meditation for well over 30 years and teaching it and realizing that, okay, you know, it changed our lives and it helps change the people we teach and who practice with us. But what happens on a bigger scale? What happens, you know, beyond ourselves? What happens when we take it off the cushion and we actually put meditation into practice in the world? So that idea inspired us to then go and talk to well over 100 meditation teachers and practitioners and people who've been involved with it for a very long time. And through all of that, we discovered such wisdom and such insight and such extraordinary, it brought tears to our eyes as we talked to people. And so we just said, okay, this is all going in a book. This has got to reach more than just us. So that's how it happened.
And so, what we realized is that everyone had a different viewpoint. It was like not one person said the same thing about meditation. So that shows you how each one of us is unique.
One of my teachers once said to me a long time ago, he just said, you know, there's as many people who practice meditation, as many forms of meditation as there are people who practice it. Implying how we all have our own understanding and experience that's unique to each one of us. And this showed us that very clearly.
Now, was there anything that somebody said about meditation that really just made you stand back and have a whole new perspective?
Well, I think Ed Begley was funny to me.
I think plenty of people did. There was no just one. It was many. Ed Begley Jr. was fabulous because he was talking about doing meditation while he was standing in the motor vehicle waiting to get his license plates in the
Motor Vehicle Bureau.
Yeah. And he said, well, I'm standing here. I don't, you know, I'm going to be waiting for hours. I don't have a, you know, Walkman, I don't have a book, what am I going to do? He said, oh, meditate. So he calls it his motor vehicle meditation.
That's beautiful. And that's the thing about meditation. You really can do it anywhere.
You can. As long as you're not operating machinery or driving a car, you're sort of pretty safe.
Although you can in the sense that essentially, and people should know this, it isn't just closing your eyes and sitting quietly. Although that's another beautiful way of doing it. But meditation is awareness. So whether you're doing the dishes and, you know, you're suddenly putting your joy or your soap, hopefully healthy soap cleaning fluid, you're looking at the bubbles and you're enjoying washing the dishes. So whatever you do, I love it in the sense that I'm an expert skier. I'm a professional skier. And when you go down a mountain and you're skiing down a mountain, you need to be mindful. You need to be very present. You know, when you meditate, if your mind drifts, then you say, you know, you bring it back to your mind and you bring it back to your breath and you watch your breath and you continue. But in skiing, if you ski down a mountain and if you're not aware and mindful, you could hit a tree. So it's that awareness. And when you do things, even musicians do it. So everybody's doing it in their own way. They don't realize it's meditation, but that's what we're really into. Because essentially one of the things we teach is that meditation is not just about this spirituality or religion. I mean, nowadays I like to think of isms are now wasms. You know, we want to find out, Buddha even said, what's real for you? Each individual has to find their own inner happiness, their own meaning in life. And meditation is a way of revealing this because it tells you to just stop. Just be quiet for a moment and look within yourself. And you'll see something more beautiful because it's the greatest gift you could ever give yourself is meditation.
Now, you said you've been
practicing for quite some time yourself too?
Yes. I often, even as a kid, would just sit still and do absolutely nothing and just really focus on the breath and just be very still. My mom always said I had an overactive imagination, so she just told me to sit still and just do nothing. And so I've been doing it since I was a kid.
What a gift she gave you.
You have a sweet mommy.
Yeah, she had an idea what she's doing at the time, I don't think. But, right. You know, it's like one of those innate wisdoms, you know, just go sit down and just do nothing. So I wasn't driving her nuts, but
right.
But
could you imagine?
You guys,
yeah.
Can I imagine what?
Can you imagine if everyone who's listening to your beautiful show and listening to us and gathering together, coming together about this, if we all just put the word out, if everyone in the world, imagine every single person in the world just stopped, as your mother said. Just for a moment and be quiet, we could change the world. Because it's the monkey mind. It's our minds. Because the mind is like a drunken monkey bitten by a scorpion. And this mind, this drunken monkey, we need to tame this monkey, make friends and peace with this monkey mind that's everywhere, that completely drives us mad. If we can just make peace with this mind, even for a moment, we would affect each other in the world because we're so connected. You know, what happens in Australia can affect us here. Mm-hmm. And if we understood this and did what your mom said, I think we would all go into a much more beautiful place because this world is a great gift. And we shouldn't see it as a horror trip.
And right now, so many people are.
Yeah.
I mean,
so many.
It's so much. You know, the earthquakes going on and the very strange weather going on and... I really feel that it's like everything is being torn down. So we really do have those moments of stillness and appreciation of what wonderful, beautiful gifts we have been given that many of us have taken advantage of or taken for granted.
And it shows like this that you're having. It shows like this that is so important. Rather than to see and listen to all the horror in the world and all the terrible things people are doing, we need to come together and see how good the human being really is. What's inside of us is really basic goodness. But we get caught up in all the rubbish in our heads. And that becomes what dictates to us and what happens.
Well, it's also, don't you feel like, getting in the media and society, and we don't always, we're not always given a lot of good stuff to think about these days. Yeah. So it really, it's having those moments that you really start really counting your blessings.
Yeah.
And connecting and understanding. I was listening to a YouTube video today about from a Native American who was saying, we're connected to the tree because what the tree gives us, we give the tree to live. And it's just those little profound wisdoms of saying, wow, we really are connected.
That's so true. And Deb actually does, I will tell you, a meditation now. It's sort of a meditation about how the tree is us. And
well, it's just that, I mean, she's saying it perfectly because even when you're looking, you know, there's no separation. You can't, even if you're just reading a newspaper. I mean, that newspaper is made from the tree, from the earth, from the sun, from the wind, all of that just so you could be reading it. But in the same way, what we're made of is the earth, the sun, the wind, the rain as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can't separate what we eat, for instance, from our body. And we can't separate what we eat from all the other factors in the universe, including the people who make the food for us. So it's a huge connection between us all, huge.
So I've been doing it for a long time. You guys have done it, you said, over 30 years. What was it about... What brought you to meditation?
Well, I'll start with that one. I was only 15, but my mother was, I grew up in London, and my mother was a Buddhist, or she had become a Buddhist when I was about 10. And it was the Easter break, and my elder siblings were all gone, and my mother was going on a three-day meditation retreat, and she was in no way going to leave me in London on my own. I was a fairly wild teenager. She was a single mother, so I really had no choice. She said, I'm only going for 3 days, and you're coming with me. So we went for 3 days, and she stayed for 3 days, and I stayed for 10. I absolutely loved it. I loved the silence, especially at night, just in the evenings, sitting by candlelight. I don't think I understood a word of what was being said, but my experience was just complete emptiness. I just was in that space totally. And so from then on, I never looked back.
And I was the royalty of the 60s. I was the flower child, a hippie from the 60s. And I met Swami Satchidananda, who's known as the Woodstock Guru, and Peter Max, the artist, Peter Max, and Carol King. You know, everybody's doing a brand new dance now. So
yep.
Carol and Peter and a whole bunch of us met Swamiji. And he even met Allen Ginsberg and told Timothy Leary, he said, you know, if you can take a pill, you know, an LSD pill, and you could become a holy man, then you should be able to take a pill and you'd become a doctor, a lawyer, a politician, because it's much harder to become a holy man. And so he took us into a beautiful place with yoga. And then I wound up being introduced to a great yogi from India, and I was invited to India. And I trained in India to become a swami, which is more or less a yogi who is like a monk. And lived in India, trained in India. And I thought I would live in India for the rest of my life and live in Mumbai or Bombay, which was, and just have an ashram, a spiritual center where I could just be and be quiet. People come, learn yoga, learn meditation, because that's essentially what yoga really leads to, being quiet. Asana yoga means seat for meditation. So I trained there and then came back to America and then eventually was part of the group in L.A. with a whole bunch of us, Carol King and everything. We had a Hollywood Yoga Institute, and it just went on, and it just became who I was, and I knew that this was the direction. And then I had various teachers, and then I finally met my guru, my wife, Deb Shapiro. So now, you know, because I feel if women really were able to bring the feminine energy into the world, the feminine goddess energy, then we would have a much more beautiful world. So I just sit at the feet of Debbie.
Wise man.
Most of the time.
But it's, and I just feel right now a lot of energy shifting, definitely. And I do feel that the goddess energy, the feminine energy, is coming back to kind of balance things out. Just things that I've seen and just meditation, that's the guidance that I'm getting, is that the goddess energy truly is coming back to balance things out, because it's been so heavy with the masculine for a little bit too long.
Too much rigidity, mm-hmm. too much ego, male ego. You know, you can't beat the male ego. You just have to hope that they realize, because there are a lot of good men out there. I mean, you mm-hmm. see a lot of good papas and good daddies with their children. I mean, it's beautiful to see the men nowadays with their children, and it's wonderful. And I feel there's a natural shift taking place by all means.
So, what do you, I mean, you want this to go out and to inspire people to be more of a change and to do more meditation. With the people that you had in this book, do you feel it's like it's their livelihood? I mean, it's their part of their being to do the meditation, or is it just an essence of who they naturally are? Do you understand what I mean?
It's a part of them. There's no separation. I mean, people often ask me, for instance, you know, what difference has meditation made in your life? And it's like, well, what difference does breathing make? I can't say what I would be without the meditation, because I have no idea. I just know that it's essential to my being. It's a part of my soul, my inner self, and therefore there's no separation.
But I think the fun part is what His Holiness, what the Dalai Lama says.
The
Dalai Lama is really, really funny, because he wrote a personal email. I mean, he sent it to us in many
forward.
Ways, very forward, but he did the forward, yes. But he sent it through an email, and he also sent it in a beautiful folder. And I'm going to read you a little book, a little tiny part of that you'll love. The Dalai Lama, this is what he says. In this book, Ed and Deb Shapiro have gathered together the thoughts and reflections of a wide range of people with a variety of experiences in meditation. Anyone interested in meditation should not only read what these people have to say, but also try it out. If you like these suggestions and they are helpful for you, use them. If they aren't, disregard them. Treat this book as you would a cookery book. You wouldn't merely read recipes with approval. You try them out. Some you'd like and would use again, like cookery. Meditation only makes sense if you put it into practice.
It really is a beautiful thing.
And he's got a great sense of humor.
Well, he's a Dalai Lama. He
has
that.
I mean,
that's a
we had a wonderful time, because on a honeymoon we met him. We were in India,
wow.
And we met him on a honeymoon, and it was just the Dalai Lama, Deb, and I. It was very beautiful, the moment, because we were at his residence, and we were sitting in a room, and I walked out on the veranda, and as it was 25 years ago, I'm suddenly going like, wow, I see the Himalayan mountain range, and it's very beautiful. And then there's a few rooms beyond on the veranda, there's this monk, and he goes, and he's calling me. I said, Deb, this monk, he's calling us, and he wants us to come to see inside. We'll meet with Dalai Lama. And as we got closer, we realized the monk going, pss, pss, was the Dalai Lama. So then Deb suddenly is...
Well, the instinct, the traditional way of greeting a great being like that is to prostrate. And so I immediately went down on my knees in front of him, and he made me stand up. He just took my hand, and he said, no, we are all equal here, which... At the time, my head went, oh, sure, you know, you're the Dalai Lama. It's easy for you to say that. But as time went on and I thought about it, it was actually one of the greatest teachings he gave us in really embodying that truth that we are all equal, absolutely equal, was a stunning experience, because it just makes you, there's no separation then. There's just no separation. You're all equal together.
And for me, it was so special, because it made me realize we are all equal. There's really no difference between someone who's cleaning up the street or the Queen of England. You know, we all make like someone special. It reminds me like when I was in India many, many, many years ago, and we were going around on a train all touring India with my guru, with my teacher. And when we got to this one stop, there was a whole parade, and a man comes over to me, and he says, you know, my name was Brahmananda. He says, Brahmananda, what can I get for you? I can get you anything you want. And I said, I would like some water. And he said, oh, Brahmananda, yes, we will have water for you. And he turns around to the guy next to him and says, get him some water. And it was so funny to see how people need to learn that we're all the same. We all want happiness. We all need to be quiet and enjoy the beauty.
You didn't say that quite strongly enough. I think what he said to the guy is, get him some water. He was pretty rude, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it was so funny to see it so in front of my eyes next to me. And we have to have more honor and respect each other in this world. You know, not if you're a Republican, you get treated this way, or a Democrat that way.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're not these things. We're not the labels. And meditation is teaching you that we're not the labels. No one's bigger and smaller. Once you meditate, all these barriers drop away. And you see that we're all human beings with basic goodness, that we're all caring. But it does challenge a little bit. Like sometimes when you meditate, different things come into your mind at first. And when you're very much a beginner, all this really weird, crazy, mad things can come up in your mind. And there was this wonderful woman who came to me quite a while ago, and she, you know, she wanted to know about meditation. And I said, well, you know, difficult thoughts could come up in your mind. I says, you could even have a thought that comes up in your mind. I want to kill my mother. And she said, how'd you know? And, of course, we laughed and all that, because obviously I didn't know. But it was also a way that it's okay, whatever arises in your mind, just see it as thoughts. Whether it's good or bad, they're just thoughts.
And therefore, they're totally insubstantial. There's nothing solid to them whatsoever. They come and go. They're totally impermanent and transitory. The only problem is that we cling to them and we think of them as real, and that's when we fall into delusion.
Yes, and the fears, and that's the one thing that definitely with everything going on, the fear and buying the illusion and the delusion of what's going on is definitely challenging the mind to stay in that heart space at times. So what
yes.
do you suggest to help people with everything going on to really get heart-centered, being in meditation or just in their everyday awareness of their moment, everyday life?
Just simply to stay present. I think actually Ed has the best thing that he's ever said once was, when we find our own peace, there is one less person suffering. So to suffer because others are suffering is wonderful, but it doesn't help. It adds to the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so the greatest gift we can actually give those who are suffering is not to suffer ourselves. So there's one less person suffering. If we can find our peace, we will have far more to give. We will be able to be with those who are suffering, who are hurting, who are having a difficult time, and we will have far more we can give them because we're more detached.
You can give by giving your peace to the world, by giving your freedom to the world, is a greater gift to humanity than all the money you could think you could give, because you could never give enough. People could never need enough. But when you give peace, when you transform your life, when you wake up and you see what this world is like, and you could be compassionate and caring, you couldn't do more for this world. So be the peace and realize your true nature is peace. And that is by, as your mother, I'll bring it up through the whole thing, your wise mother told you to just be quiet. Just be still. In that, it'll come naturally. Because, you see, it's like going to bed at night. You clean the bed. You prepare the bed, you make the sheets looking good. But when you lie down, the sleep comes by itself.
Mm-hmm.
When you water a plant, you have a little bulb or you have a seed. You put it in the sun, you water it. but the flower opens by itself. So as we prepare our own lives, will we come into the goodness? And the goodness means that if you're really feeling crap or you're feeling really bad, don't hide it. Don't ever try to, you know, suppress your feelings or deny your feelings. If you're really feeling bad, it's like the story of this monk. And there's this enlightened student with his Buddha, and the student, the disciple, is so excited because he's going to finally be with his enlightened Buddha master. And he suddenly is with the master, and the master finds out that his son dies. And the enlightened master, he's crying. And the disciple, he looks at the master, he says, "You're a Buddha. You're an enlightened Buddha. Why are you crying?" And the master says, "Because my son died."
So we're all human, and we have feelings, and that's totally, totally, totally okay. The difference is when we indulge or overindulge in them, and we start to suffer more and more as a result.
And we become the suffering.
So for the enlightened teacher, he cries, his son has died, and then he gets on with his world. Mm-hmm. It's when we cling and we hold on and we make that into pain and suffering, that's when it gets more difficult.
And, the label.
And it's also, we have a very, sorry to interrupt, honey, but we have a very strong rule in this house, which is not to take ourselves too seriously. It's one thing that we have learned a long time over the years of doing this. We have the tendency, we all have the tendency to take ourselves way too seriously. And that's when we also fall into deep delusion. And we need to watch that. We need to have a little more humor in our life about where we're concerned, where our own failings and weaknesses and humanness is concerned.
And we don't have to get it right.
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Ed?
Well, I was just saying, and we don't always have to get it right. You know, the definition is everybody thinks they have to be perfect. And the definition of perfection is your ability to see your imperfections. So when we realize that, and it's all right, as long as we don't become the abused person. We all have been abused somewhere along the line, or some might not. But essentially, we don't become that abused person. That's not your identity. Your identity is just being quiet. It's just being a human being. Or even take away the label, just being.
Yeah, just being. It's something that my guidance, through my beautiful spiritual lessons, they put me in some certain situations, and I got way too serious. And they literally are going to meditation, and they're laughing. And I said, "What? Why are you laughing?" And they said, "You're a cosmic joke." Only because you're taking it way too seriously. Really?
Yeah. And that's why the name of the next book that we're doing right now is really great, because it's Eat, Play, Meditate. And it's the subtitle is Deb wants to share with you.
Nourishing ourselves, yourself, from the inside out.
And
beautiful.
That's going to be a fun thing to do, because the one thing that I find is people aren't playing enough. You know, the eat is nourishment. We all need nourishment. It's not eating through your mouth. It's nourishing your heart and soul. And the play, we need to even play at work. We need to be able to play with life. And then meditate is being quiet and like a flower, like a, it's basically mud, stem, lotus. Now the mud is all the things that we come into the world with and are dealing with. The stem is learning how to become, grow out of it. And then the lotus is the flower, is the light, when we can enjoy this magnificent world.
And once you get to that point, it's all just all smiles.
Well, it's helping others. You know, the greatest
really
joy
is
when we start serving and doing for others. That's what the meditation part of what we're saying is. As much as it's meditation and we're enjoying the joy of the world, it's also service. The greatest joy is when you're helping another.
And knowing that you're making a huge difference. I mean, I do life
exactly.
coaching And as I'm doing a session with somebody and I see them, you know, I try and make it light and fluffy and see, okay, you're getting wrapped up in this, and why? And then they start thinking, well, I don't know why I am. and, you know, it's just like just helping them see a little bit of the humor of that it's just a situation and they'll go through it one way or another. Mm-hmm. It isn't, it really, truly, there's very few situations that are life and death. And even in death, it's a beautiful thing and it's nothing to fear whatsoever.
Well, it's definitely true.
You know, I've had many near-death experiences, so I know the other side is beautiful and awesome, and when I get there, it's going to be a blessing. So I count all my blessings in everything I experience. So it let me know the importance of the stillness and to see all the blessings I had along, you know, the troubles that I went through and the struggles and stuff that I went through. I always knew the light was there. I always knew love was there. I had that support. And I feel, at least for me, through meditation, you feel the universal love.
Totally.
You feel that bliss. And there's times that I'll just look out and I have a beautiful view of the desert and I just see and I feel this bliss.
I know the feeling. I would hope to think.
You would think what?
No, I hope that I'm feeling what you're feeling because it sounds very, very much the same. When you know that bliss, when you know that joy, it's very humbling.
It's very humbling, and it takes my breath away and brings tears to my eyes in gratitude for that moment.
It makes me feel the way the three of us are talking right now because we're coming from our hearts. We know that what we're sharing right now, we hope, can touch at least one heart. One other human being that should know that your show, what you're doing, is there to help others.
I definitely am in service, and I do my best, and that's all I can do.
That's a good one when you say that. It's called, the teacher once told me, do your best and leave the rest.
Right. You know, I give the information. I'm there to support. What they do with the information and the support is up to them.
Absolutely.
And I just find joy in the moment of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, I'm so glad that so in a way we do remember this was not an accident that we connected.
Of course not. It always comes in beautiful ways. And it really was very confirming. Because there's been some moments I've gotten a little too wrapped up, and it's just like, Jen, you really are on the right track. Really. You're doing good. Because I'm reading this and going, well, that's something I wrote. Yeah, that's similar to something, you know, and it's just like, wow,
true.
I really am doing good.
Yeah.
That's
very
true. And it's funny when you write things like that, Deb reminds me, telling me sometimes she writes something and she'll look at the computer and it'll say, who wrote that?
Oh, absolutely. I have no idea. So I get up in the morning, I think, well, who the hell wrote that last night?
But it's also very interesting because we were talking about service. And actress Ellen Burstyn, Oscar-winning actress Ellen Burstyn, what she did was really great that I think Deb tells great because mm-hmm. she did a street retreat. And that's one of the interesting things in the book.
Yeah, street retreats are wonderful where groups of people together voluntarily, completely voluntarily, live with absolutely nothing. They have no credit cards, no change, nothing. On the streets for a number of days. They have to fend for themselves exactly as any street person would. The only difference is they meet once a day to meditate together. And the purpose of this being that we really can experience and feel what it is to be in that situation, and as one of the participants said, to be completely boundless. You have no boundaries whatsoever. There is no separation between you and anything. So even though we say there isn't, in our daily lives, actually there are. There's walls and there's heat. We have the heat go on and we have lights that go on and we have food in the refrigerator. There are things that define us. And doing this experience, actually there's nothing to define you whatsoever. So Ellen was doing this, Ellen Burstyn, and along came the moment where she had to beg for the first time to have some money for food. And she saw two women on the other side of the street sitting outside a cafe having coffee together. So she crossed the road and went to them and asked them if they could spare a dollar. And one of the women, without looking at her, just put her hand in the pocket and took a dollar out and held it out to her. So on the way back across the street, Ellen was very pleased and proud of herself that she had done it. And then she suddenly realized she had not been acknowledged in any way whatsoever. And there was a deep sadness that there had been no human contact, no human acknowledgement. And so she vowed from then on that no matter whether she gave or not to somebody, she would always acknowledge their existence.
Look in their eyes and be there. And little did those ladies know that they just brushed off one of the best Academy Award-winning actresses of all times.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's kind of like that story that that you see every once in a while about the man who really has nothing, and he feels that he really has little to give. And then this man who is even in worse condition comes up to him and says, "Do you just have a place for me to sleep and a piece of bread?" And the man says, "Well, come to my home. I will do what I can." And he went to his home and he prepared a meal for this man just to say, "Okay, I really can give back." And this man came and he gave him his, and the man was actually a king, and then gave all his wealth upon his death to this man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That is, I love that. I mean, it's amazing when that happens, and you know, there are so many wonderful stories like what you're saying, like we're saying in our book, Be the Change. I mean, there's so much. And Robert Thurman, Uma's father, who wrote the foreword to our book with the Dalai Lama, what he shares and his understanding is absolutely marvelous. So you have to read the foreword, because I won't stop now and read it, but it's very, very funny. He's got a great sense of humor. And there's so many different. Jane Fonda has a wonderful story because she's been training with Zen Buddhism, Zen meditation, that is. And she was great. And one of my favorite stories with her is because she was, you know, when we interviewed her, she was talking about how we were in India. And there I was in India training to be, you know, a yogi, a meditator. And she was there at the time. And she didn't like, she couldn't stand yoga, you know, hippies who were walking around India and going to see gurus, because she was an activist. So she was an activist. Here I am, a hippie, trying to meditate. And then I'm interviewing her, 40-odd years later, in the last couple of years for the book. And then she's doing a movie now on being a hippie Jane, and I'm working as an activist. So we all move around. We never know where our life is going to take us. But here we are both meditating together and have a wonderful relationship all through meditation. You never know who you're going to meet through meditation.
Either on this side or the other. I'll tell a quick story. When I first started really meditating, I was listening to some meditation tapes from Denise Lin. And she, Native American, she really helped me get very good and just really helped me through the beginning stages of my spiritual practice. And then I finally, after, oh man, it was several years later, I went and met her. And I said, "Hi, here's my book. Can you please sign in?" She goes, "I know you. Have you been in one of my classes?" And I go, "Well, not in this room." And she goes, "That's right. You're doing a beautiful job."
Denise is great. She is we know her from England. We've met her in London many, 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 many years ago. Everybody's doing their good thing. If we can all just do our best and come together and do this dance of life through meditation. I mean, there was a wonderful guy who Deb could mention who from in L.A., Mark Marantz, who's done some beautiful work with just the dolphins.
Yeah, just
his whole meditation was just surfing, wasn't it?
Well, one aspect of his meditation was because he found when he was out there just body surfing in the ocean, his mind could become very still and very peaceful. And in that moment, he would have great creativity and inspiration. And on one occasion it came because when he saw the dolphins, they just gave him a sort of message, as it were, that he was able to put into practice to help the poverty, to help the needy, the homeless. Yeah, so there's many ways, obviously, that meditation can work, that it's not just about sitting on our butts. It's about sitting on the butt and taking ourselves off the cushion into the world and seeing where we can be of help, where we can actually put into practice this quality of oneness, this quality of unity together, and especially being able to help those people who will never, ever be able to help us back. You know, they just will be able to only just manage to look after themselves. Being able to give something to someone who cannot help themselves is exquisite. It really is.
And having someone like Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's in a book, who's bringing mindfulness meditation to hospitals, to Congress, to bringing meditation to those places. And then John Hagelin, who's the Maharishi with TM, Transcendental Meditation. He's the head of that. And Men from Mars.
John Gray.
Yeah, the John Gray, wonderful man. And he wrote, you know, Men from Mars, Women from Venus, and how he worked with the Maharishi for 9 years. So we have a cross-section of so many different people who are doing good in the world in so many different ways. 100 people who are saying, yes, we can do it. Bonnie Reese, who works with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Do you want to read a passage or two?
Sure.
To give an example?
Yep, that's very well.
I don't have anything marked at the moment, though. It might take a
minute. Yeah, but
just,
I mean,
you know, just open the book.
Something.
You
I mean,
know,
it
would be the
have
perfect
it marked, one. Actually, and I think the thing about the mark that we do have is things that I think will really make the people who are listening open their hearts even more. So I think maybe what Sean Korn or we could even, you know, Kiri or something, because there's some people who are doing things that would, you know, Sean Korn, who's the great yogi, and Kiri, her name is Kiri, it's Kirsten Westby, who's worked with the Chinese and activism there. But what would you decide to talk about, Deb?
I'm quickly looking. It's taken me by surprise. Is there anything you would like us to read? Because you've been looking at the book recently.
Just open it to any page. The thing is about the book is you can open it to any page, and it all has pearls of wisdom in it.
Let me just find Sean Korn, and you can keep talking.
So one of our favorite is Sean Korn, and I don't know if you know who Sean Korn is, but she's probably one of the most respected yogis from L.A., and what she's done is she's taken meditation off the cushion. And her point is that in order to really understand the truth of meditation is service. So what I would say is, right on, Deb.
I know, I'm trying to find it.
Well, if you'd like, I got it.
Because we have a very special one.
This is a very special one. Sean Korn's a yoga teacher, and as she says, first yoga changed my body, then meditation changed my attitude. Then I realized that whether my practice was 15 minutes or 4 hours was irrelevant, because it was not about how yoga can change me, but how I can, through this practice, begin to change the world. What I really felt was, how dare I not step into the world and hold that space? I first started by working with child prostitutes in Los Angeles. I did not know how my life was going to change when I entered the shelter, but I met my shadow there. I hated those girls. And it wasn't just girls, it was young boys too. They were so arrogant and defiant, and they were so wounded. They were also like a mirror in which I saw that part of myself that had been abused, and how I had not dealt with my own defiance, arrogance, or wounding. They really didn't accept me at first. Are you kidding? This big-mouthed, floppy-headed white girl from New Jersey, bouncing in to tell them how to do yoga or meditate? They slaughtered me. It was the most humiliating experience I had ever had, because I went in trying to fix them. I didn't go in there recognizing that I am them. They took one look at me and were totally unimpressed. No way I wanted to go back. I sat in my car and cried and cried. The next time I went, I was more humble, as I had recognized that we were there to serve each other. I have to love the prostitute in myself. I have to love the impoverished and illiterate within me. I have to love the wounded parts of myself so that I can hold someone else in real regard. Those girls rejected me for weeks. It was like pulling teeth. Then one day, I will never forget it, I walked into the shelter, and there was this little goth girl who had OCD and used to cut herself with razor blades. When she saw me, she jumped up, ran to me, threw her arms around me. I was overwhelmed. Then one by one, the other girls got up and hugged me. After that, I had to come to the shelter 10 minutes early to do the hug thing, and I had to leave 10 minutes late to make time for the hug thing. because once we connected, all they wanted was appropriate touch, to have a moment of connection that was safe. So that's a beautiful example of putting meditation into practice, taking it off the cushion.
Definitely. And how did you choose the sections of your book?
They chose themselves.
This book wanted to get meditation,
you know, how it fitted into each part of the world. And so it wasn't just about the world, though. It was also about us. We are the world. And so it was how meditation helps us with our anger, how it helps develop forgiveness and kindness and, you know, relationships, how it affects those, and then how it affects us at work and how it affects us in service and in the world and even in politics. It just went into every aspect.
And how it can open a heart.
And with, you know, with activism and so on, it was just a very each piece sort of spoke to us, basically.
When you get into a situation like that, it takes you on. You know what I mean? When you realize, because ultimately we're not the doer. You see, we think we're solid. We think I'm Ed. You know, we think we are the name or the label. But in reality, we're just consciousness. We're just beingness. And so if you watch the world carefully, like I said, you don't make the sleep come on. The sleep comes by itself. The flower opens by itself. The earth is in orbit. The heart is beating. Blood is flowing through the whole of our being. The breath goes in. We don't make it come out. We don't know what's going to happen. It just does its thing. And as we become more aware, we become part of this great, incredible experience called beingness, called life. And so when you get into a situation like the book, it started telling us what to do. We just knew what to do by becoming aware, quiet, sensitive. And then, you know, this one would tell you about this one, like Joan Halifax. She's a Zen master. And then someone, Mark Matusak, has told me about, he was just with Jane Fonda. And then this one says, Ellen Burstyn. And each person introduced us to somebody else they felt should be in the book.
The sections are just, it literally is one of those things that you flip through and it's like, you just go, wow. And it really does touch your heart and open your heart a little bit more. And I think that's the magic of it, is how much it opens your heart.
And we have, when we can give away, we have some copies to give to people who get in touch with you.
And we don't think of it as our book either. We want people to know that as well. Everyone in the book, meditation, no one owns meditation. No one owns this book. This is a conglomeration of all people coming together because they want to offer other people in the world to say, we can all do it together. And meditation is just a way of, as your mom says, being quiet, and then the magic happens.
It definitely opened a magical world to me, and I've told her that many times. And now she wonders, she supports in what I do for my living, but it does make her wonder how I do it. She is one of those beautiful women who just does what comes naturally to her. It's very innate. Mind over
body. Sounds like a pure heart.
She has survived two bouts of colon cancer that should have killed her easily, and she survived it. She really is a huge inspiration for many people.
I can feel it when it comes through you. It's so nice. And let's create this as an epidemic. You know, let peace, let meditation, you know, go around. Let people realize it's so important. And, you know, even for the young people that may be listening to your show, you know, you don't have to sit there and close your eyes and watch your mind. You can do it in so many ways. Ski a mountain, ride your bicycle, be kind. Do it all with awareness and goodness. That's meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is everything we do. It's just a word. It doesn't have to be associated with any isms. Don't forget, isms are now wasms. We're more interested in people becoming happier, having a better life. Once you wake up, when you really experience what we're saying, all you want is for others to experience it too.
Oh, most definitely. Is there one more piece you would like to end? I mean, something else I do want to mention about this book is you guys do give practice in meditation, different ways of doing it.
Maybe we can just talk about that for a minute. We realized also that, you know, one thing to do a book about meditation, but with obviously there would be people who read it who need guidance, and guidance isn't always available wherever, everywhere where we live. So we have a number of chapters on practice because of the fact that it's not just sitting. We also have practice in using sound and music and chanting and movement through yoga or walking meditation. We even have running meditation.
As well as
sitting meditation. And so we tend to teach meditation in terms of clearing our mind and opening our heart.
And we have three CDs. We have three meditation CDs that if people are interested, when you mention our website, which is, you know, Ed and Deb Shapiro .com. Ed-E-D-A-N-D-D-E-B-S-H-A-P-I-R-O.com. And you can, and we have three wonderful CDs that people seem to like.
Yeah, meditation and deep relaxation. So the book is very practical, as well as being extraordinarily inspirational, which it was for us as much as it is to the reader. Very inspirational and very accessible. What we didn't want were teachers telling us how to do it. We wanted people telling us how they do it and what it means to them, so that each one of us can relate to that and not just be taught, but actually experience it. And that, I hope, is what happens with this book.
Oh, I, as somebody who is been reading through it, and it really is, it's one of those books that's like, okay, what do I need to know? And you open it and you just read it, it's like, okay, that's it. Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah,
and you go and put it in your practice. So it's a beautiful, the energy is just, even just, I just saw the cover and I said, okay, they got to be on.
Oh, bless you.
So are you guys doing any workshops? Because at times you do
workshops. We're going to Costa Rica in April. Then we're going in May to England, and we'll be there. But if one of the things is, if people want, wherever they live, whoever hears this, if they can have 10 or more people come to the area, because that happens a lot. People invite us. They have 10 mm-hmm. or more people, and then we're willing to come.
Excellent.
So they just need to get in touch with us through our website, and we'll respond.
Trust me, they do respond back to you quickly. I was kind of like, wow, this is quick.
we've taught in Australia and Europe, all over Europe, all over the United States. We've taught at Omega Institute. So we do teach everywhere. We've been working on projects now because Deb just finished another, a movie that we just did a book for, a major movie that's coming out on forgiveness in April. And that'll be nice. But most important is that if people want us and they can get a group together, we'll come. And that's really very powerful.
When is the movie being done for this book?
Excuse me?
When is this book going to become a
movie? The book will be out it'll be out in April weekend because our PBS is doing a two-part series on forgiveness. April weekend,
but basically they'll be doing the information, and the publicist will be getting more info. We don't have the exact information yet.
Okay,
but only PBS does, and so does the people who are the filmmakers.
Right, and it sounds wonderful. I'm sure that you'll be getting more information out there on your website,
yes.
on Facebook, and et cetera.
Yes.
And let me know, and I'll get the word out as well, because I definitely support what you're doing, and you're helping just not the world, the universe, be a better place by your presence and your essence. And I truly appreciate you being on. It's been an honor to have you on the show, and believe it or not, the time is up.
And we support you.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget, edanddebshapiro.com.
Definitely. Thank you again for being on the program. And anytime you want to come back on, please let me know. I'll make
we
time.
Will.
Both ways. Just know we're connected.
Yes, in so many ways. So, again, that's Ed, and DebSapiro.com. Check them out. They are also on Facebook if you want to check them out there. Please give me a email at jen@jenniferhillman.com if you are interested in getting one of those free copies of this wonderful, beautiful book. Again, thank you very, very much for being on air.
Our pleasure.
And with
You're
that,
an angel.
I say, oh, well, thank you so much. So are you. So with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.
Good night.